This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour three, let's keep the good times rolling. It's Live Bet Saturday. I'm Joe Serrallo taking you through the program here. We've been all over preseason football and some futures talk because, like I've said numerous times, I'm not big on betting week one preseason. But you can apply some things that you see in these games to the futures market, and that's what we've been doing here. Major League Baseball in full swing. It's the dog days of summer. But we've got a hell of a UFC 330 card tonight to get to. And y'all know, if you were watching me on Cashing Out or whatever shows I've done since, UFC is not really my jam. It's not my thing. I'm just not that. I don't follow it closely enough to give educated, informed picks of my own. So why don't we bring the best UFC talker I know into the program. At Gamblu on Twitter, it's VSiN contributor Lou Finicaro. Uncle Lou joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. It is great to talk to you, Lou. How are you today and how excited are you for this main event tonight?
Well, it's going to be a great card. I really appreciate the intro, Joe. UFC, this is a huge card for us, and it really, our shine will begin to fade just a little bit now because football's coming into full swing. And so the UFC will take us a back seat, as everything does to football. As well, our market will change a little bit because it'll just be really dedicated fight fans in the market now. All those, that football fluff will be gone and paying attention to football. But this is a huge card, great main event, and I'm dying to get into it with you.
Yeah, I can't wait for that main event either. Let's we'll get to that in a little bit. I want to give the viewers something to look forward to because you've got a couple plays for that fight that I think are going to excite some people. But how about some of the earlier fights? You know, we see a lot of lopsided money lines in the UFC, but this one is damn near a pick'em between Vicente Luque and Trayshawn Gore. So what's your angle on that fight to start?
Yeah, so this great fight, Luque, a Brazilian, has moved from 170 pounds where he fought his whole career to 185, namely because the weight cut was getting him. He's 35 years old now and getting a little long in the tooth, especially for as much attrition as he took at 170. He's a warrior of a fighter. And so moving to 185 in his first fight against Kelvin Gastelum worked quite great. He looked well. And I think that recency is propelling a lot of people to like him in this fight. Luque opened a minus 140 in this fight. Gore went to about a minus 140. And now they've been playing tennis with this line, and it's pretty much settled close to a pick'em. Gore is a little younger, but he's a natural 185-pound fighter. And he's fast, he's ferocious, he's very powerful. And I would say it's rare when I give a Brazilian the edge in fight IQ over any other nationality. Again, I'm not trying to be a bigot here, but sometimes the Brazilians can leave you scratching your head. In this case, it'll be Luque that will have the IQ and the experience over Gore. Gore is a real raw piece of metal that needs to be shined out, but I do believe his explosive nature and his power will be too much for Luque at 185. And so there's a good pick'em bet for you on a card where there's six or seven fights with the favorite line over 275-1 or better. And so we have to be judicious in the fights that we choose and the dogs we take.
And I like that breakdown. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, some people, their training and their background, and this does, you know, a lot of times in fighting, in UFC, in boxing, where you're from has a lot to do with how you're trained. And some guys are more technical, and some, you know, parts of the world, they train in a more technical, mechanical way. And sometimes they train in a way to just let athleticism take it over. And I think that's exactly, you were spot on with what you were alluding to there with the Brazilians kind of relying on athleticism at times, but Luque being an exception to the rule. How about another fight I know a lot of people are interested in before the main event, Mackenzie Dern and Jillian Robertson. What are your thoughts on this one tonight?
Well, this is a women's 115-pound fight, and so normally those get swept under the rug or early in the card, but because this is a five-round title fight, it's getting some shine. But the real shine the UFC wants to use this fight for is to boomerang Dern into the next fight against Weili Zhang, the ex-Chinese fighter, the Chinese mixed martial artist that used to be the champ at 115. She got a little headstrong and full of herself, thought she could move up to 25, got battered, and moved right back down to 15, where they're trying to get a championship fight between her and Dern set up. And I say that because the winner of Dern and Robertson will fight Weili Zhang. I think the winner is Dern because Dern has a pedigree in Brazilian jiu-jitsu that goes from when she was in diapers. Her dad's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu savant. She grew up in the sport. She's grown up in mixed martial arts. And in the last 5 years, she's brought in a striking coach, Jason Perillo, to really help her round out her game. Robertson, I can describe almost the same way as Dern. Heavy grappling, mean as a junkyard dog, but very, very lackluster hands and very poor strike defense. Tough as Robertson is, this is just a too big of a step up in class for her. It's her first five-round fight. It's her first championship fight. And I think she's just going to get her PhD in MMA from Ms. Dern based on the class difference here. So Dern minus 210, minus 220, I think is a solid parlay play. And I absolutely believe Dern up to minus 250 is a good position.
He's VSiN contributor Lou Finicaro with us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Now, make sure you follow him on Twitter at GamBlue. Great stuff on some of the prelims and the early fights here, Lou. Let's get to the main event. And I know you've got two plays here. One of them is a winner. One of them, in a prop market play that I believe is not available everywhere. Dive into this one first and kind of explain what you like, how you can bet it, and whatnot.
Okay, so those of you outside of Nevada, where there's DraftKings or FanDuel, you can get the points handicap. And so in the main event, if you look to the left of the line, you'll see that Islam Makhachev, the favorite in the fight at minus 360 or so, he's giving 9.5 points to Ian Machado Gary, the underdog. The dog, if you take him straight, plus 295. But if you take the points handicap, you get 9.5 points with Gary, minus 110. Now, what does that mean? So in a five-round fight, there are three judges. If all three judges score the fight for Makhachev, 5-0, which would basically mean that Makhachev is mopping the floor with Gary, then I'm going to lose the fight because the total amount of difference would be 50 to 45 on three judges' cards, difference 15 points. Now, if Gary can win one round, now that looks like 46 to 50, 3 times 4 is 12, and now you're a much closer to the 9.5. In a five-round fight, I'm doing a terrible job describing this. Gary plus...
I'm following. It sounds like if Gary wins two rounds here, you might be in the driver's seat. Is that correct?
If Gary wins one round, he will lose on the judges' scorecards 46 to 49 on all three cards. That total is 9.
So one round.
Wow, so yeah. One round. And now let's break into the fight. Makhachev is everything everyone's telling you that he is. However, the wrinkle in Makhachev is that he's only had one fight at 170, and it was to an undersized Jack Della Maddalena who held the title. Kudos for Makhachev. Makhachev 3 years ago fought Alexander Volkanovski at 155 pounds, and Volkanovski was a 45-pound champ that moved to 55 to compete with Makhachev, and he took him to a decision. Now Makhachev moves up to 170. He's fighting a legitimate 170-pound guy that's going to enter the cage at 198 pounds tonight. Gary is fast. He's fleet. He's deft. He's very athletic. He's got no power whatsoever, and he can't get into a wrestling match with Makhachev. So this is going to be about the bull and the matador. Makhachev rushing to engage, and Gary absolutely not letting him. I think Makhachev's going to have so much more trouble with this body type and athletic competitor that he's in with that he's going to find it very, very difficult. I absolutely believe that Gary has a chance to win this fight, but I really believe that he makes this look like a 3-2 fight on the judges' scorecards, meaning it's going to decision, and I think Gary's going to be way more competitive than people are giving him credit for.
So you're taking him at plus 280 in this this main card, this main event, huh?
Taking a small bet at 280, absolutely. But I'm making one of the larger bets I've made in my mixed martial arts history on Gary plus 9.5 minus 110. I don't want to overstate it, but that's going to be a pretty sizable bet for me.
There you have it. I love it. Lou Finicaro, Uncle Lou, all over Gary plus 9.5 points here. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at GamBlue. VSiN contributor, UFC expert, NFL expert, Lou Finicaro. Always great seeing you, man. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks for having me on, Joe. Good luck, everybody.
Live Bet Saturday rolls on after this. We've got a flurry of MLB games starting shortly. Finally, right? Let's break them down on the other side.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Great stuff right there from Lou Finicaro breaking down the UFC. You know, I love, obviously, look, not every host at any network is going to be an expert in every sport. I love having guys like Gary Williams and Lou Finicaro who can come on and break down sports that I don't watch a whole lot of, like golf and the UFC, and just do it in a digestible, fun, entertaining way. I might get in on that Gary plus 9.5 points bet. I mean, Lou Finicaro telling us that is one of the more, quote, sizable bets he's made in his UFC gambling career. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to get there on the 3-1 money line. That's, you know, that's a big balls bet from Uncle Lou. But I might get there on the plus 9.5 points scorecard play with Gary in tonight's main event. I just had a sizable play of my own. Some are calling it a nuke. Might be a nuclear play that I've been working on for the past 2 weeks. I was 2 weeks away from this play just 2 weeks ago. The Tampa Bay Rays, run line, minus one, plus 105 against the Baltimore Orioles. This game is less than an hour away from getting underway. I mentioned it at the top of the show, even though it was nowhere near getting underway, but it was my favorite play of the day. Give me Tampa, minus one. It's a Profit X play. Profit X, I don't know if every book has this. Well, I do know every book does not. I don't know exactly which ones do and which ones don't. But minus a flat one on the run line, not laying 1.5, although I would lay 1.5 because let's face it, if it lands on one, it's a push. You know, I'm not winning anything if they win by one. I only win if they cover that, you know, that 1.5 or more. Only difference here is if they win by one, I get a push. But plus 105, minus one, I love this play. Ian Seymour has quietly been phenomenal for Tampa Bay since his role expanded back on June the 8th. And I say expanded because he hasn't started every game. He's got outings of 5-6 innings that have followed an opener. So what happened with Ian Seymour this season with the Tampa Bay Rays? Prior to June 7th, guy was strictly a reliever. 1-2 innings of work, never exceeded 2 innings before June 8th. On June 8th, they expanded his role. It started with, it might have been a start that day, come to think of it, but it was a mix of long relief and starting. You know, 4 innings here following an opener, 4-5 innings here starting the game. Now he's a starter for Tampa Bay. And oh, by the way, 3 of his last 4 starts, he's gone for 7 or more strikeouts. Had one with 9 strikeouts a couple outings ago, I believe. So ever since his role expansion, it's been a tale of two cities. And it's weird because normally we see the opposite. We see a starter who can't cut it go to the bullpen. They can air it out more. They find a few more ticks on their fastball. They're not using their fourth pitch anymore because as a reliever, you really only need two, maybe three. Well, with Seymour, we saw a reliever who had an ERA of 5.25 go to this expanded role of long relief slash starting. And since then, since June 8th, his ERA is under 3.5, nearly 2 runs lower than what it was pre-June 8th. He also has seen his strikeout production increase, which is, again, very rare. Usually, you know, if you're a starter, you're not striking guys out, you go to the pen, your velo adds a few ticks to it, and all of a sudden your K numbers improve. Well, for Seymour, he wasn't really striking guys out as a reliever, but in this expanded role, predominantly starting, over 11 Ks per nine since June the 8th. Again, he's recorded 7 or more in 3 of his last 4 starts. I love Tampa Bay behind him. I also love them at home. 41-19 this year in 60 home games. By far the best home record in baseball. The Dodgers ain't 22 games over 500 at home. The Brewers ain't 22 games over 500 at home. Tampa Bay at home this year, unreal. They've only lost consecutive home games 4 times this season. Think about that. 60 games. Think they once lost 3 in a row. The other times it was just 2 in a row at home. They did it twice in April. They did it twice in June. They haven't done it in over 6 weeks. I love this bounce back spot for Tampa coming off a 1-run loss yesterday at home to the Baltimore Orioles. So minus a run plus 105. That's my nuke of the day, if you will. Tampa Bay in this spot, my favorite bet of the day. And I've got a couple more bets we're going to get to. I've got, you know, the Giants currently to not bat in the bottom of the 9th inning. We'll update you on that one as we do on a live betting show. But yeah, San Francisco, bottom of the 4th. Ooh, they can blow this baby open. There's 2 outs, but the bases are juiced. They're up 2-1. Michael Lorenzen for Colorado in that spot. Not exactly an ace. Better road numbers than home numbers this year. That Coors Field ERA is over 9. On the road, though, it's still over 5. Lorenzen, I love him. He's just having a terrible season for Colorado after really reinventing himself with Kansas City and Texas prior to joining the Rockies. But he's behind in the count. It's 3-1 to the center fielder, Drew Gilbert, who's already, I believe, up for the 3rd time today, hitting leadoff for the Giants. He's 1-for-1. He's got a solo home run and a walk thus far. A walk here would produce an RBI for Gilbert and put the Giants up 3-1. So we'll see what he does in this at-bat with the bases juiced, 2 outs in the bottom of the 4th. The Toronto Blue Jays have taken the lead. Actually, every game right now is 2-1. San Fran's up 2-1. The Blue Jays are up 2-1. My New York Mets up 2-1. The Nationals got one back, a solo shout off the bat of Chaparro. Sean Manaea, 4 innings, 1 run, 5 strikeouts, 49 pitches. He continues to look phenomenal. He's making a bid for a 5th straight quality start. This is a guy who started the year predominantly out of the bullpen for the New York Mets. We'll get to the preseason action here shortly as well. But I do want to remind you guys of one of our sponsors, because with 20 leagues, they've got one mission, and that's Just Win Bets, baby. They're your premier source for daily sports betting picks. They break down the data so you can bet with confidence across the entire sports calendar. And we've got a QR code we're going to throw up on the screen that you can scan, or you can go to justwinbetsbaby.com today and start betting smarter with Just Win Bets Baby. The name says it all. Let's go back to the preseason football action. The Rams have another field goal. They're up 6-3 over Kansas City. No one has made it to the end zone. There's that QR code, by the way, for those of you watching, justwinbetsbaby.com, friend of the show. The Chiefs looks like are going to line up for a field goal here. 40 seconds left in the first half. They've got 4th and 5 on the Rams 17. I mean, they don't have a kicker battle. They don't have a quarterback battle. I'd go for it, but they elect to kick it. And it is 6-6. Kansas City and the Rams, 30 seconds to go till it's halftime there. That was the one preseason game I was intrigued by. And I was very clear. I didn't bet it, but I liked the Rams. They were catching 1.5 to 2.5, depending on the shop. I liked the Rams' money line in that spot because Stetson Bennett is a known preseason performer. Now, Ty Simpson's gotten a lot of run, after Bennett opened the game going 4 for 6. And Simpson has looked even better, going 5 for 6 with 48 yards. I do think that's your QB too with the Rams. I mean, to me, it's not even, you're looking at a late round pick who in now entering his fourth year in the NFL has never taken a regular season snap in Stetson Bennett, a guy who I believe is certified dog trash. And then you're looking at Ty Simpson, who I think was overdrafted, but was still taken in the first half of the first round in April's NFL draft. First rounder, dog trash. To me, it's no comparison. Ty Simpson's your QB2. Stetson Bennett, like I said, the preseason says Super Bowl. He's entering year 4 in the NFL. He has never taken a snap. That shouldn't suddenly start now. I know having a rookie as your QB2, it can be scary. And to me, the only justification for the Rams to make Bennett their QB2 is so that Simpson's not a sacrificial lamb if Stafford, God forbid, got hurt. That's a tough circumstance to make your NFL debut in. Usually, especially with these first-round rookies who you plan to make a starter down the line, to be possibly the future of your franchise, usually they're either QB1 or QB3 because you don't want them getting thrown into the fire without preparation. When they are ready to start, you want them to have the whole week to be playing with the first team, to know that they're starting. That could be the only justification I see for the Rams making Stetson Bennett their QB2, is that if something happened and someone had to get thrown into the fire, you throw Bennett into the fire and not Simpson to make his NFL debut in such a fashion. But if we're looking at talent here, there's no dispute. Simpson's the better option. He's the better quarterback. He was the first round pick for a reason. Stetson Bennett in the NFL is really just a nothing burger. You know who's not a nothing burger? The guy who's going to be joining us on the other side. I can't wait to talk some bets with Doug Kazarian. He's hosting Cashing Out tonight, and he's kind enough that he's going to join the show here in just about 5 minutes. We're going to get to it all, everything that Doug likes on today's slate, whether or not he's betting preseason football, but whether or not he is, we'll talk some NFL futures and what he might like and maybe some teams and topics that he can tease before he hits the airwaves later on tonight. Major League Baseball, a couple of prime timers coming at you. You didn't think that in the final 30 minutes of the show, we weren't going to break down Jacob Mizorowski and this Brewers-Dodgers game, that if LA pulls off, wait for it, the home upset here. Not something we say too often about the Dodgers. They are home dogs against Mizorowski and the Brewers. Well, if they pull it off, they'll be tied for the one seed in the National League. A lot of fun baseball, a lot of fun action coming up. Don't go anywhere. I'm Joe Cirillo. It's Live Bet Saturday. You're locked into VSiN, the sports betting network. Doug Kazarian joins us on the other side.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
How about those San Francisco Giants? I just mentioned how they were up 2-1 with the bases loaded and two outs against Colorado. They erupted for a crooked number in the bottom of the fourth. They lead it 7-1. Hell of a two-out rally right there by the Giants. Up 7-1 after four over Colorado. They chase Michael Lorenzen. He was unable to finish that inning. And it's just been a rough year for Lorenzen over there with the Colorado Rockies. But the Giants lead it 7-1. The other two games, as I mentioned, are still 2-1. Jays over the Yanks, Mets over the Nationals. And let's hit, as promised, the progressive guest line. Because the man who is hosting Cashing Out tonight on this network is so kind enough as to join us here on this show to talk a little bit of everything. WNBA, MLB, NFL. Let's welcome in Doug Kazarian into the program via the progressive guest line. Doug, appreciate you taking the time to join us here. And let's start in the W, because I had no WNBA action today. But my L.A. Sparks, I mean, you're the one, after all, who's from Los Angeles. So I guess they're your L.A. Sparks, too. They've got a contest in about 2 hours, taking on the Mystics. What do you like there, my friend?
Yeah, I want no part of this version of the L.A. team that has failed to make the playoffs 5 straight years. This year will be at 6. They're kind of in tank mode, Joe. They traded Kelsey Plum, and they got a draft pick, and they got a good young player out of it. And they're kind of going through the motions. But they had a good comeback the other day. This Mystics team, you would like them. They're the youngest average age in the league, and they call themselves, self-proclaimed, Joe, the Young Hoes. because they have this energy and vibe about them. And they have a lot of fun. Now, they're coming off back-to-back losses here in Vegas, but they're a really good team. They're probably going to be the eighth seed come playoff time. Very surprising season. Their coach is the second favorite to win Coach of the Year. I love this team in the underdog role. It's tough laying points with them. They should get the win. If I had to play it, I would lay the 6.5, but it's tough. They had covered 8 straight, then lost back-to-back in Vegas, dribbled out down 7 with 25 seconds to go. The spread was 6.5. They quit on us who backed them. But nonetheless, they're a good team. I think they'll have a little bounce in their step. They shoot the most free throws in the league. They have a physical front line. But again, I'm not in a rush to lay points with this team. They're better in the underdog role, but they should bounce back with at least a W here.
It's incredible, Doug. We've only worked together once, and you know me so well with the WNBA action, knowing what I would like. Let's flip over to Major League Baseball. We're on the same side of this one. If you're not, for whatever reason, getting the Dodgers and Brewers nationally televised game today, you will be getting the Red Sox and the Pirates. And this line just does not make a lot of sense to me. Sonny Gray opposite Jared Jones. What's your play here?
Yeah, Jared Jones owes me some money because I did a live bet on the under last week. And because the first inning, he gave up a couple runs, but it was a hit by pitch, seeing guys single, couple fluky runs. Second inning, he got out of it in and out 9 pitches. So I'm like, okay, that was a fluke first inning, second inning back to normal. And then he just got shelled and didn't have it. And he's actually been touched up a little bit the last couple outings by his standards. So I'm gonna back the Red Sox here, first 5. So typically when I'd make a baseball bet, if it's a side or total, I like to isolate the first 5. Obviously, it's very dictated by starting pitching matchup. And I believe in Sonny Gray here against Jared Jones. So it's a little pricier than the game line because obviously the end of the game favors the home team. So you're going to have to pay like 120, 125 on the first 5. But that's what I'm going with Boston. Sonny Gray, very reliable, had some chatter that he was Cy Young material this year. But nonetheless, I think the Red Sox. Now, I thought the Pirates had quit. They had a nice outing the other day when they nearly had a no-hitter. But I think the Red Sox are the right side. To your point, Joe, I do think it's a little stinky here, this fishy line. But I'll nonetheless take the bait with the first 5.
Yeah, I mean, look, I get it. Boston struggled. They've lost, 6 of 7? But I'm with you. You isolate the starters and you get to your first 5 conclusion with Sonny Gray, who some way, somehow didn't make the All-Star team. Maybe the biggest unspoken of snub of the year. But this guy is 3rd or 4th in your Cy Young odds right now in the American League. And it is a 2-horse race between Schlittler and Dylan Cease. But Sonny Gray is not far behind. And the reason I went full game here is because Boston also has like a top 3 bullpen in baseball. Normally I'm with you. I like to isolate the starters. But with the Red Sox, you've got Gray, you've got the pen, you got a Pirates team that were buyers 2 weeks ago that now probably regret being buyers at the deadline. And we're seeing this one pretty eye to eye. He's Doug Kazarian. He's hosting Cashing Out tonight right here on VSiN. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Doug Kazarian. And let's talk a little football because it's week 1. We've got a full slate of preseason games. Doug, I'm curious. I don't bet the preseason. There was one game I was intrigued by. It was Rams money line. I said I like it, but I was not playing it. And that's only because Stetson Bennett has a ton of preseason experience. The guy doesn't play if it's not the preseason. So you get that continuity there in an environment he's used to in a battle of backups between the Rams and the Chiefs. Did you like anything today? Did you play anything today? Or do you kind of like me just watch this and evaluate and play the futures market instead this time of year?
Yeah, I certainly understand the apprehension with the preseason because you got to do a lot of homework and the reward is only 3 weeks of games. So you're putting in a lot if you're not like locked into the depth chart of every team. It's kind of like the World Cup, right? You have to open this can of worms, but it's a short shelf life. But if you're into it, it's great. And the NFL preseason over the years has been a really good market to attack. However, a lot more sharps have gotten involved. There's not just bad numbers hanging out there. The odds makers have gotten smarter about tracking the information, and because there's such transparency with coaching staffs, they don't care about the wins or losses. So they're going to be very forthcoming about the planned playing time of key starters and things like that. So it's just become a tighter market, but there are opportunities if you can get ahead of the curve. With that being said, a lot of people were on the Browns money line today and they got whacked. Now, every sport, every market has, you know, games that the market is off on and things like that. So I pick my spots very carefully. I actually am on the under 30.5 in this game. I bet it earlier. I thought it was pretty vanilla. Chiefs should have had a touchdown, but they've been called for like 7 holds in the last quarter, but we're at halftime, 6 apiece. You like the Rams. I kind of lean Chiefs money line, but your point, Stetson Bennett is going to be playing. He's going to be much more, I don't know, comfortable and adjusted than Ty Simpson, the rookie out of Bama, was in the first half. It was pretty vanilla. Any throwing pass play was a play action to the flat. But, you know, under, if anything, but nothing I have circled the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, I you know what? I do like that under call. I wasn't looking really at the total, but you got McVay and Reed, and I did mention this, and this would, you know, back you up here. Two of the best offensive minds in the game, and they show nothing in the preseason. It's as vanilla. I called it, you know, the diet Rams offense. That's all you're going to get out of McVay, and same goes for Andy Reid. So that would certainly point towards an under. Speaking of unders, in the futures market, you mentioned off air that there was one that you like. Who is it and why?
Yeah, I'm on the Falcons under 7.5 wins. I think this team is hot garbage. Now, it's really about the quarterback play, and that's with Tua, and then if Penix gets healthy, it's possible to get a better coach and not necessarily improve, and that's what's happening. Like, I wasn't a Raheem Morris fan, and they botched a lot of fourth down calls and a lot of challenge situations, but this schedule is really brutal. I wouldn't be shocked if they start the year like 2-10 or something like that. I mean, if you look out of their division, they have to play the NFC North and the NFC. I'm looking at AFC North. So they're AFC North and NFC North, and they got a lot of tough games. And the only, I mean, their defense is fine. And yes, you do have Bijan, who's fantastic. You do have Kyle Pitts, McGee. But besides that, you have a whole lot of shakiness. And again, a quarterback who's one play away from retiring. And Stefanski, see, I think Mike McDaniel was a way better play caller. Everyone thought that Miami offense was great and all that. It actually wasn't. It was all McDaniel's play calling. And whereas Cleveland was very basic, and Stefanski's not the wizard everyone wants to make him out to be, I think McDaniel, with making lemonade out of lemons, was much more creative and put defenses under a lot of pressure. I didn't see that in Cleveland. And I thought he botched a couple drives, even when he had Dylan Gabriel and whatnot. Yes, he's going to have a couple more weapons, and the division's not great, but it's balanced. And then the added division. So I'm under 7.5 wins for this team. I think they could have like 5.
Yeah, that schedule is a gauntlet. That's a really tough one the more I look at it right there. And, you know, you factor in the James Pierce news too, going to be suspended 8 games, which right. Compared to what he did is a slap on the wrist, but that's where we're at right now. So first half of the year, they're going to be without one of the best edge rushers in the NFC. And I like the call. Doug, I'm excited. You get to be back on these airwaves here in just a couple of hours. I really appreciate that you took the time to join me before you come on for Cashing Out. Thanks so much, man.
My pleasure. I had to get up and shower and shave at some point today before I came in. So might as well get the day started a little bit. We got the UFC card starting soon too.
I'm glad I could motivate you to take a shower, Doug. That makes me feel really good about myself, man. He's Doug Kazarian. Follow him on Twitter, at Doug Kazarian, and make sure that you catch him tonight, Cashing Out, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We began to get into it. Red Sox, Pirates, that game, just about an hour and a half away from first pitch. Doug is on the Red Sox first 5. I'm on the Red Sox money line. Got him at minus 110 on the prediction market behind Sonny Gray, who has been sensational this year for a Red Sox team who went from the basement of the American League to eyeing a potential World Series. But there is another game featuring two teams eyeing the World Series, the Milwaukee Brewers and the Los Angeles Dodgers, right down the road from me. We'll get into it up next. I'm Joe Serrallo. It's Live Bet Saturday on VSiN.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Live Bet Saturday continues as we get ready to wrap it up here with me, Joe Serrallo, on VSiN. A lot of action today. NFL preseason, if that's your thing, if that excites you, which, I mean, hey, it does for a lot of people. Week 1 of the preseason doesn't get the juices flowing for me all that much. Week 3, we can talk. I can't wait for the regular season. I'm looking more, though, at how to attack the futures market right now than a week 1 preseason game loaded with predominantly rookies, second-year guys, and a bunch of guys who won't be on the roster in a month. Like Doug Kazarian just told us, and he was spot on in saying so. You know, it can be a lot of work for very little reward when you look at a three-week season, essentially, and all of the names you have to learn and the depth charts that you have to go over for these guys who very well might not be on a roster in 3 weeks. But preseason is underway, which means that football is back, folks. We are close. It's right around the corner. We had a full baseball slate today, which, I mean, most of it is still yet to come. A lot of these games have not gotten underway, about two-thirds of them still to come here. We do have some live action. The Blue Jays just busted it open against the Yankees and have me regretting the angle I mentioned when I said at plus 170 I was intrigued in taking Toronto. Instead, I took Schlittler under 6.5 Ks. He goes over on the hook with 7, and the Jays, a plus 170 dog, are up 4-1 going in to the ninth inning. So it'll be the Yankees' last shot to extend this one. The Giants, finally, I'm in the win column today, or at least I should be. They're up 7-1 after 5 at home to Colorado. If it was Coors Field, I wouldn't be counting my money with a 6-run lead after 5 innings. But up at Oracle Park, pitcher's park, Logan Webb on the mound. You know, it's funny. You look at Webb in this one, and if you look at his batter versus pitcher numbers, the Rockies collectively had great numbers against Logan Webb. But all the damage is at Coors Field. Colorado's never gotten to him, or at least not in the last 4 years. I went as far back as 2023. None of these guys get to him when they're in San Francisco. So what the Rockies do at Coors Field, put it in a vacuum, not applicable elsewhere. And that shows today as Webb is cruising and the Giants, a massive two-out rally in the bottom of the fourth, lead at 7-1 as they go to the sixth inning in San Francisco. Cardinals doubled up the Cubs total, beating them 8-4. I was off there with the Cubs run line, -1 at home. Congrats to Greg Peterson, who had a twofer in that one. Had the over 9, they land on 12. Had the Cardinals money line as well. And he can thank Joshua Baez, the rookie right fielder for the Cardinals. Not just the rookie, folks, but making his MLB debut as, is that a home run? Oh, off the left field foul pole. Sean Manaea was pitching a gem for the New York Mets. Going for his fifth straight quality start, had one out in the sixth inning, but a hit by pitch and a walk gave the Nationals first and second, and House just hit one, thought it was going to go foul, off the pole and left, and the Nationals lead it 4-2. So Manaea's bid for another quality start is dead. He's been so good. Four straight quality starts, last time out, 7 innings, 1 run, 11 Ks. I know the Mets were a popular bet today, but the Nationals, with only one hit this inning, it was a hit worth 3 runs. They're up 4-2, top of the sixth at Citi Field. But as I was saying, Baez for the Cardinals. How can you describe it? It's a debut that we've never seen before. A home run in each of his first 3 at-bats. No one's ever had 3 home runs in a major league debut before. Joshua Baez now can say it's happened and I've done it. Incredibly, 33 of them at AAA this year. I confused him with the prospect the Mets sent St. Louis for their closer, Ryan Helsley, last year, Jose Baez, who has 30 home runs in AA. So the Cardinals had 2 prospects named Jay Baez with 30-plus homers in the minors. This one gets called up. He adds 3 more to his season total, but does it in the big leagues off of an all-star in Matthew Boyd, who, since coming off the injured list after a terrible start to the year, which makes sense, he was hurt, comes off the injured list, and since his return, he's 6-0 with a 2.43 ERA. Baez single-handedly hands him his first loss back from the IL, and just a big win for St. Louis over their rival Cubs, 8-4. So, yeah, 5 games have either been completed or are underway. We've got 10 to go. Let's get into our game of the night. The Milwaukee Brewers down the road from me are taking on a Dodgers team that they are 1 game up on in the National League standings for the 1 seed. They had a big comeback win, game 1 Thursday night of the series. The Dodgers could easily be up 2-0 in this series, and the Dodgers could have a 1-game lead over Milwaukee for the 1 seed. But Edwin Diaz, who has been atrocious lately, blew his 3rd save in the month of August alone in a game where LA was up 4-2 going into the 9th. The Brewers took game one. Yamamoto did exactly what I said he would do yesterday morning and was the stopper in game two, got the Dodgers back in the win column. Now it's Mizorowski, it's Robleski, it's a couple of Polish last names at Dodger Stadium in front of a sold-out crowd for national television, and I can't wait for this game. Mizorowski's K-prop is sitting at 8.5, and I will say this Dodgers team, they can be prone to striking out. They've got a lot of power, and with a lot of power comes also a lot of swing and miss at times. I'm not going to touch that, though, because Mizorowski, you know, he's gotten there for me. I've been doing, like, it's the patented Joe Cirillo parlay, right? Mizorowski, 8+ strikeouts, Milwaukee money line, and it's hit like 6 out of the 9 times I've done it this year. But, you know, I don't know how Pat Murphy's going to handle him. On one hand, you're fighting for the one seed. This is going to be a playoff type game, even though it's August 15th, and you don't want to have a tight leash on Mizorowski. On the other hand, it's still the regular season, and they have been somewhat limiting his pitches and his up downs to about, you know, 6 innings, 85 pitches, whichever hits first, that's when he typically gets pulled. I don't know how they're going to handle him here, so I'm staying away from the prop market. And here's what I'm hitting. I'm hitting the Brewers money line at minus 115. It's crazy that the Dodgers are home underdogs. It simply does not happen with this LA Dodger team. But Milwaukee coming in as a road favorite, it's still a good price. They're never minus 115 favorites with Mizorowski on the bump. They are often north of $2 favorites when Mizorowski's on the bump. It's why I do the parlay of them money line plus him with the strikeouts. I put it in. You put 8 or more strikeouts attached to Milwaukee money line, you only change it about 25 cents to plus 110. Not worth it for me. You know, if it was a different opponent, I'd go for it. Here, I'm just going money line with Milwaukee on national TV. I can't wait. I need to see this. Whether it's the NLCS, the NLDS, I need to see Mizorowski and the Brewers go up against the Dodgers in October. Last year, it was a sweep. I have a feeling this year, I still give the edge to the Dodgers. Make no mistake about it. I have a feeling it would be a more competitive series, though, than another sweep, like the way that LA ran through the Brew Crew in last year's NLCS. Although I do still think, even though they took a beating today, I do still think that the most competitive team to the Dodgers in the playoffs, Chicago Cubs, not the Brewers, not the Braves. I want to see a Dodgers-Cubs playoff series as well as potentially Dodgers Brewers. But I'm on Mizorowski. I'm on the Brewers money line minus 115. Busy baseball card today. Let's see if the later games are a little nicer to me, a little kinder to my wallet than the earlier games. So just to recap, the three outstanding bets I have for games that have not started yet. In 15 minutes, Tampa Bay -1 at plus 105 over the Orioles. Red Sox money line minus 110 over the Pirates. Milwaukee money line minus 115 over the Dodgers. And hey, if anyone has a ticket who's watching or listening to the show, an extra ticket to this Dodgers Brewers game, or if they have a ticket they can't use, I'm just saying, if it found its way to me, I'd make good use of it. Mizorowski at Dodger Stadium, who wouldn't pay top dollar to see that? You know what else I'd pay top dollar to see? The VSiN NFL Futures Draft. VSiN is on the clock for the second annual Pro Football Futures Draft. 13 VSiN hosts and guests face off in a fantasy football-style snake draft hosted by none other than your second favorite cashing out host, Dustin Swedelson. And every pick doubles as a handicapping breakdown you can use. Win totals, division winners, player props, and more. Last year's competitors are all back for round two, joined by three newcomers. How about Keyshawn Johnson joining the fun this year, as well as Nick Buckeye and the guru, John Hansen. Don't just watch the Futures Draft, profit from it. Tune in Thursday, August 20th, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, only on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. That's going to be a fun event. Anytime Dustin Swedelson gets to host anything, you know it's going to be fun. But how about Keyshawn Johnson getting in on the Futures Draft? You know that that's going to be a good time. Thursday, August 20th, just 5 days away. Guys, this was a good time. Thanks for hanging with me for 3 hours. I had so much fun. We're going to do it again mañana. Live bet Sunday, tomorrow, same time, same place, 3 Eastern, noon Pacific. I'll see you then. In the meantime, a lot of live action, MLB, WNBA, NFL still going. So Live Bet Saturday still goes, just with a different face than mine. I'm Joe Serralo for our incredible producer, Preston Saya, and the rest of our terrific team behind the glass over there at Circa. Thanks for tuning in, but don't go anywhere.